We have special visitors in our midst to fellowship with and to give us our lesson for this morning. And it's Brother and Sister Kumar. Sister Kumar is Thelma. Brother Kumar is Yudaya. Yudaya. Yudaya Kumar. From Chennai. His subject matter is, what shall I do? What shall I do? And it centers around Luke, the 10th chapter, the 25th to the 37th verse. Just to give you a little insight to where he's going to expound. Luke 10, 25 to 37, what shall I do? Brother Kumar.
If you need water, there's water there.
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
At the outset, I thank our Heavenly Father for the privilege to come over here all the way from India and to share the fellowship and the Word of God. So we bring you the Christian greetings of Indian brethren, especially from the ecclesia where we are now, that's Chennai. Dear brothers and sisters, for the glory of our Heavenly Father and for the benefit of our spiritual life, I would like to share on the topic, what shall I do? So when we read in Luke 10 chapter from 25th verse to 37, we read, a lawyer came to Jesus Christ and he asked, Master, what shall I do to inherit the eternal life? Christ told him, because you are a lawyer, you know very well about the commandments, the promises, that's what's written in the law. The lawyer said two important things. One is, love thy God with all thy mind, with all thy strength, with all thy heart. And the second one, love thy neighbor as love thyself. These are the two important things he quoted from the law. Christ appreciated his answer, that you well said, go and do this, then you will get the eternal life. But the lion never wanted to go back. Again, he wanted to ask a question, who is my neighbor? Then only Christ narrates this picture, we call it a parable. Christ told him, a certain man went down to Jericho from Jerusalem. That time he got by the thieves and they stripped his dresses. At that time, certain priest came on the way and he saw him, but he never attempted him. He passed by the way. The second one, a Levite came, he also saw him and passed by the way. Finally, a Samaritan came on the way. He saw him, had passion upon him, and he got down from the animal, and he went there, and he poured oil and wine, and he was binding his wounds. After that, he took him and his animal, and he brought him to an inn. There he told with the innkeeper, take care of him, and he gave 2 pences to spend for his health. And he told, the next day he went, I will come back and I will take him. Then he asked the lawyer, who is thy neighbor? He said, the Samaritan who did good things for me. Then he said, nicely you answer, you go and get the eternal life. This is what is recorded in the Bible. But Christ never told who is that certain man and why did he go down to Jericho from Jerusalem, because around Jerusalem there were a lot of places, Bethsaida, Bethania, Bethel, so many places were there. But why did he go very particularly to the Jericho? That he never explained. And when he caught by the thieves, what are all the things that certain man had? That's not narrated. That's not explained to us. No thief will come just to take their justice. Then what are all the things he had? That's not given there. And who is that priest? Who is that Levite? And who is that Samaritan? Why did they go on the way? So finally that Samaritan came and he was binding his wounds. Nobody can do. As soon as we see a man lying on the down the floor, immediately we won't go and bind the wounds with oil and wine. Have you ever heard about pouring oil and wine to heal the wounds? Then, who is the innkeeper? What's the animal? Nothing is stated in this parable. So we know, as the Bible students, we have to search the verses we read in John 5th chapter 39th verse. Sister Thelma, please. I request. 5:39. John 5:39.
You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is these that bear witness of me.
Yes. Christ tells us, search the scriptures. In some translations it's given, read the verses, scriptures diligently. So it's our prime duty. We are not like the nominal Christians, just to go read and take the private interpretation or the literal meaning of the scriptures. So we have to search and we have to find out who is the certain man and why did he go down to Jericho from Jerusalem? What are all the things he had? And who was the priest? These are all the questions. If we find out the answers for all these questions, we will understand what's Christ's aim to explain this parable to that lawyer. It's nothing but the divine plan of the ages. The entire plan is in this parable. That's what we are going to see now. So we know the meaning of Jerusalem. Jerusalem means the foundation of peace. They pronounce the Jerusalem means Jerusalem, Jerusalem. That means the foundation of peace. So from this Jerusalem, thus from the foundation of peace, the certain man leaves to Jericho. So we read in Malachi 3rd chapter, tenth verse. 15th verse. Malachi,
so now,
3rd chapter, 15th verse.
So now we call the arrogant blessed. Not only are the doers
Sorry, 2nd chapter, 15th verse. Malachi.
But not one has done so, who was a remnant of the Spirit. And what did that one do, while he was seeking a godly offspring?
Yes. God made only one man to seek godly offspring. So when God made only one man, we know the one man, Adam. When God made the world, it was a foundation of peace. The entire world was covered with peace, joy. There was no tears. There was no war. No weariness. No indifference. There was no death. Nothing was there. It was filled with peace, joy. God made the world. So from this foundation of peace, that certain man, Adam, he leaves to Jericho. We read about Jericho. The meaning of Jericho is fragrance. It was situated 5 miles west of Jordan and 7 miles northwest of Dead Sea. In India, when British people came, they recorded each and every place, the level of the place. They recorded that in every railway stations, that place, how far it is elevated from the sea level. That's why they recorded it as mean sea level. You know, throughout India, they recorded in all the railway stations. We don't know why they did it, but this Jericho particularly, all the places will be elevated from the sea level, but this Jericho was 800 feet below than the Mediterranean Sea. That means, so when the sea is in such a way, when this Jericho is 800 feet below the sea level, that means the death is upon the head always. So Adam and Eve, they, by the words of adversary, the fragrance words of adversary, they attracted and they disobeyed God's words. That means they left the foundation of peace and they were going to Jericho towards death. That's what given in this picture, parable. So when they went to Jericho, when they are ready to follow the words of adversary, what are all the things they heard? What are all the things God has given to them? God has given precious things to Adam and Eve and the entire mankind, of course. First of all, we never imagined that God gave the everlasting life. Adam was the only man blessed with God to have this wonderful, precious thing that was everlasting life. So when they disobeyed God's words, Adam lost the first thing, the everlasting life. After that, God never gave to the precious thing to any man except our Lord Master Jesus Christ. Suppose if there is an advertisement, if you happen to see in the TV, so here is the eternal life is available, anyone can come and give the highest price and get it. Who will get it? The entire world will be there to get the eternal life, having lots and lots of money. We know only one man from America only get it. He is Bill Gates. Because he is earning $250 per second. But even if he wants to get it, it's impossible. That God gave to Adam. But he lost because of fragrance of the adversary. The first thing he lost. Second one, every day morning, in the cool of the day, God came to the Garden of Eden and they took a morning walk. He could have told, he could have explained God's plan or the entire Garden of Eden. We read the same thing in Genesis, third verse, third chapter, eighth verse.
And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day.
They heard the voice of God in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden. But when they disobeyed God's voice, they lost the fellowship, the relationship they spoiled with the God. The second one thing he lost. And the third one, God sent them after the wonderful garden. So we read it in third chapter, 23rd and 24th verses.
Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken.
Yes. First we read that God sent them out of the Garden of Eden. But in the next verse itself, we read, when they were drove out of the Garden of Eden. So we know the meaning of driving away and sending. The difference of these two words. Once if we send somebody, he can come again. Once if we drove him away, that he will not come back. That's the meaning. Am I correct? Yes. So first we read that they were sent. But second, we read when they were drove. So they never come back to that Garden of Eden. That was a wonderful garden. Everything was fresh. All the trees, all the flowers, fruits, grass, flowers, butterflies, animals. Everything was created by God. Everything was new. Even nowadays, when we go to some botanical gardens or some other gardens, we wonder, we admire, seeing all the flowers and the man-made arrangements. But what could have been that Garden of Eden, which was created directly by our Heavenly Father with all His wisdom? So He was sent out of the garden. He lost the Garden of Eden. We can think, it's after a garden. No, it was His dwelling place. It was His dwelling place. The next second has to find out some place to dwell. Because when he was in the Garden of Eden, all the animals and the birds, all the creatures created by God, God blessed Adam to subdue all these things. They were all obeying Adam's word. But when he sent out of the garden, nothing obeyed him. He has to protect himself from the animals. That's why it was his responsibility to find a dwelling place. He has to protect himself from the animals. So these are all the things Adam lost, that certain man lost with the thieves. And finally we can see that he lost the fruit of life. God kept that sword of light on the way of that which leads to the tree of life. He lost the tree. He lost the fruit of life. We can list out many things what he lost with the thieves. Finally, we read in that same Luke 10 chapter 30th verse that they stripped his dresses. So that we read in Genesis 3rd chapter 10th verse. Genesis 3:10.
And he said, I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked.
Yes. God came to the Adam. He called Adam, where are you? He said, fearing hearing thy voice, I am behind the bushes. Why? I am naked. The adversary took their dresses. They stripped their dresses. This is what explained in this parable. It's nothing but the divine plan of Heavenly Father. After that, we see that the priest represents when God selected the natural Israelites as his own nation from this entire world. God gave many promises to them. God gave all the commandments, tabernacles, sacrifices, many, many things God gave to them. But nothing saved the mankind from death. It was only we read in the New Testament, it was a pedagogue, nothing but a teacher which led towards the eternal life. But it never gave the eternal life to the dying mankind. That's the priest who went by the side of the man. After that, God sent many Levites. Levites represents here the servants of God. Many prophets, many kings, many servants of God came to this world. But they never gave the eternal life to the dying mankind. So finally, the Good Samaritan is coming. So if we ask any brother or anybody whom the Good Samaritan represents, simply they will tell he represents Christ. Then if you ask why, there won't be any answer. We'll see why Christ is here, represents this Samaritan. So he came. So we read in this Bible that he came and he was binding the wounds. But I hope that before he could have bind that wounds, he could have done one thing. Can you imagine what he could have done? Before he cleansing her, tried to heal the wounds. We read that the certain man was stripped by the thieves. He was naked there. That's why when he came to this world, he gave the salvation. That what we read in Isaiah 61, 10th verse. We read in Isaiah 61, 10.
I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garment of salvation.
Yes, I will rejoice in the Lord because He clothed me with the cloth of salvation for the man who is lying down without dress, that sin for which Christ came to this world, for the salvation. That's why we call him as the Redeemer and Savior. So when man fallen in sin, he was naked. So God clothed him with the salvation and the robe of righteousness. That's why I rejoice in Lord. Before he could have binding his wounds, God gave us the cloth of salvation first. After that, he is binding his wounds. So when he is binding, we have submit ourselves entirely to the hands of our Savior. Then only he can bind. First of all, the consecration. We have to submit the entire things because we are sinners. So we have to give ourselves the entire things into the hands of our Savior. Then, before he is binding, he is cleansing the wounds. Because when the thieves caught him, they could have beaten him. He was in the ground. There will be many dust upon that wound. Simply we cannot bind the wounds with all this dust and all these things. Then Christ cleansing us first. These are all the things. Consecration. Cleansing. Then we have to immerse. Then he is pouring oil and wine. We know oil represents in many places the Holy Spirit. We read in Psalms 133 about the oil. So oil represents Holy Spirit. When we consecrate and immerse in Christ, Christ gives the Holy Spirit. After that, is pouring wine also. So we read in many verses that wine represents joy and blessings. We read in Isaiah 65, 8 verse. Isaiah.
Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, do not destroy it, for there is benefit in it.
Yes. If you want find wine in the cluster, don't destroy. There is the blessing. So here it's translated as benefit. But in King James verse, it says yes, blessings. So the blessings what Adam lost in the hands of the adversary. Lord will give the entire blessings to the whole humankind in the kingdom of our Heavenly Father. So with this, God is healing. He is binding the wounds of the man. After that, he is taking him to an inn. The inn is nothing but this world. He never took him with that. But he never took the man with him. He left behind in this world. The world is like an inn. Many people come. Many people are going. So it's like an inn. Our Christ left us in this world to give time to all the humankind to understand the salvation and to accept Christ as the Savior. So that's the innkeeper is nothing but the comforter. What Christ promised us, I will go and send the comforter who will lead and who will teach all the things, the sin, judgment, everything. He will lead us, lead you in this world, the comforter. Is the innkeeper. And he gave 2 pence to spend. Before that he took in this animal in which he came. So we read in Luke 9 chapter 23 verse, Luke 9 23.
And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
Yes, Christ too. If anyone wants to follow me, deny himself and take his cross and follow. What does it mean by denying ourselves? It's nothing but doing the will of God, not our own will. So that time, we have to be humble and meek. We have to wait upon the Lord. In many cases, in our life, we should not desire anything of our own. I am having the knowledge. I am having the money. I am having the power. I can do anything. God will laugh at us. We are not supposed to tell. We are not supposed to do all these things. We have to be humble and meek. In many places, Brother Russell writes, meekness is not our weakness. When we follow our Lord and Master, we have to follow his footsteps, how he walked in this world. Until that, he obeyed our Heavenly Father. We have to obey our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. That what the animal in which he took the Satan man to that inn. Then why we should compare Christ to this Samaritan? So when he came to this world, very particularly to the children of Israel, they never agreed Christ is the Son of God. What they told, we read in John 8 chapter 48 verse. Tell me, please. John 8, 48.
The Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?
Yes. They said Christ is a Samaritan because they hate Samaritans. They never agreed them. So that's why we read when Christ went to the well and asked to a Samaritan woman to give water to drink. She said, Jews won't take even water and they won't give water to us. So how they treated the Samaritans. So likewise, they treated Jesus Christ as a Samaritan. They never agreed himself as the Son of Man. That was the respect they gave to Christ. That's why it's stated here that Christ is to a Samaritan. And he gave 2 pence to that innkeeper and to spend. The 2 pence is nothing but the 2 testaments. This one is world and the second one is gold. That's New Testament. So we have to spend with all this to heal completely the wounds which caused by the thieves. This is what we have to do. And he told that I will come again and I will take him. The next day he went from there. Now he is asking that lawyer, who is your neighbor, then he is telling that the good Samaritan who did good things for me, who gave the cloth of salvation, who healed, who poured the oil, who poured the wine, who gave the 2 pence, is good Samaritan. He is my neighbor. So we read in a nutshell in John 17:3.
And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent.
Yeah. So we must love our Heavenly Father, the only true God, Jehovah, and Jesus Christ whom He sent. If we know them, surely we'll get the eternal life. That's what Christ wants to tell the lawyer when he asked, what shall I do to inherit the eternal life? So now we found our neighbor is not the literal neighbor. How can we determine who is my neighbor? It's nothing but our Master Jesus Christ. That we have to do the two things, of the commandments, that love thy God, Lord, with all your heart, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thy love as yourself. So if we do these things, this is what we have to do. If we do these things, surely we will get the eternal life. I thank you, brother, for hearing patiently. So here, a lot of elders and scholars of Bibles are sitting here. I'm the little one come from India. And you have given a wonderful chance. It's a privilege. We thank again our Heavenly Father for this wonderful privilege to share the words of God and the good fellowship of the brethren. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.